It's pretty interesting that it worked out nicely, actually, that Pastor asked me a couple weeks ago, and it just worked out perfectly that the one day he's sick, it worked out that I was here to take in. And so I'm going to get everyone to turn in their Bibles. I'd like to start tonight with some scripture readings from a couple places in our texts. If I could get a couple volunteers to read for me, that would be great. I just need three verses read. So is anyone wanting to read for me? We got Madison, Annika. We got anyone else? Steve? Oh, Kevin, you got that. Okay. So Madison, if you could open up to Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Annika, I'm going to get you to Isaiah 40, verse 31. Kevin, if you can get to Psalms 37, 4 to 5. All right, let's open up in a word of prayer tonight. Dear God, just thank you for everything you do for us, Lord, and just allowing us to come out tonight and just join each other in fellowship and learn something new from your word tonight, Lord. Just please give me the strength to portray what I'm wanting to say across, Lord, and just help everyone to come away with something new. Thank you for all you do, and please keep Pastor and his family safe and help them to get better soon, Lord. In your holy and high name, amen. So I wanted to start tonight's message with these passages as they show how God can do amazing things through us. If we trust in the Lord our God, we can do great things. And I think that as humans, we have a high tendency to put ourselves down or think that we are the wrong person for God's will. We might be scared, selfish, angry, or just not interested in following God and his plan for our lives. I think of myself when this comes to mind. How can a God so powerful and mighty use a sinner like me to further his cause? In the grand scheme of things, I'm one guy in a world of over 7 billion people. What effect will I have? The funny thing is, God always has an answer for us, and his word is a great place to start. There we go. When we look at the scriptures, we see how God used a variety of people that, just like us, had doubts, reservations, and shortcomings about being used by him. The Bible is completely full of these examples, but for tonight's message, I want to zero in on five specifically. These five biblical people had a very big impact for God, and all in different ways. One thing that they all did have in common, though, was that there were, in their time in history, they were nobodies, just your average day person, that God chose to do something more. I want to start out with talking about David, because David fits perfectly into this category, as he was a shepherd boy who spent most of his teen years protecting his flock. Everything changed completely when Samuel came to his father Jesse and wanted to see his sons. Samuel was there to find the next king of Israel, as King Saul had been rejected by God, which is shown in 1 Samuel 13:13. David didn't take the throne until years later, but was definitely used by God in many ways. The most notable story we hear about when we think of David is the story of the Philistine in David and Goliath. David had faith that God was with him and that he could slay Goliath and bring victory to the Israelites. However, the road to David's reign as ruler was not easy. As young, David fled for his life from a jealous King Saul. He eventually came back to Israel after Saul's death in battle against the Philistines to become Israel's anointed king. David was able to accomplish something that remained elusive to King Saul, which was to unify Israel. Previous to David's kinship, Israeli tribes had been held together as a loose confederacy. But as recounted in 2 Samuel, tribe elders who held David in great esteem came together and chose David as their leader. Although David was anointed king in the city of Hebron in 2 Samuel 5:3, he established the walled city of Jerusalem as the capital of his kingdom. It's crazy to think that Jerusalem remains today as Israel's most holy and sacred city. King David also brought the Ark to Jerusalem, which sets the foundation for the building of Israel's first temple in Jerusalem, which was taken care of by Solomon, David's son. David was used by God in ways that he probably never thought were possible. God even promised that David's throne will last forever and that through his lineage, Christ the Savior would enter the world. I think the part we as Christians don't hear a lot is the downfalls of this great man. We like to put David on a pedestal and view him as a perfect follower of God, which is not the case. The big one that we do hear with David is the adultery with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel 11, 3-4, it says, "And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanliness, and she returned unto her house." David even takes it a step further as he writes a letter condemning Uriah, who is Bathsheba's husband, to death on the battlefield. He sent him right to the front and told the troops to recede, and he was killed. David gave in to sexual temptation and committed murder. God was displeased with David's actions and took his son that Bathsheba bore him. Now, when we hear this story, we think, how could God use a man that did such horrible deeds? I think the positive we can get out of this story is that God loves us dearly, even when we do mess up in our walk with him. Hopefully not in the same caliber as David did, but we will fall. We as Christians need to learn from our mistakes, ask for forgiveness, and move forward. If we dwell on our past failures, how can we be an effective tool for Christ? If we made mistakes that cost him dearly, but he has forgiven and went on to be a man that followed after God's heart. Another one is the Jonah. And the book of Jonah is a prime example of God using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. The prophet Jonah had a hard time following through with what God wanted him to do. In Jonah 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." In summary, Jonah tried to run away from God. He learned a terrifying lesson in the belly of a fish. He did his duty, and then still had the audacity to complain about the creator of the universe, about saving the people of Nineveh. But God was forgiving both of Jonah and the sinful people of Nineveh he preached to. The story of Jonah and the whale is a good lesson in knowing that God is always right and you can't run from him. Jonah thought that if he went the opposite direction to Tarshish, he could get away from what God wanted him to do. Jonah showed extreme foolishness and selfishness in disobeying God. We as Christians need to be open to God's plan in our lives and be used by him. Our role may not be as dramatic as Jonah's, but we have a duty for God that we have to carry out. Though we use this story mostly to show what happens when you don't follow God, Jonah actually helped save over 100,000 souls in the city of Nineveh who had turned from God. Just another ordinary person who had fears and doubts who did amazing things through the power of God. The next person I want to talk about is Saul of Tarsus, who had his life changed on the road to Damascus. Saul, who is later known as the Apostle Paul, was zealous in all that he did. He would do everything he could to try and stop the growth of Christianity. In fact, when Stephen was killed, Saul was there, as it says in Acts 7:58-60, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their cloth at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin in their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." We look at Saul and think, how can God use a man like this who persecuted and killed Christians? But our God works in amazing ways and can change anyone's heart, which we see happened with Paul's case as he was on the road to Damascus. In Acts 9:3-6, it says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him,
Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Because of the brilliance of the bright light, Saul had been blinded for 3 days, and he could not see. He even needed companions to lead him into Damascus. While in Damascus, Jesus instructed a devout follower of the way to pray for Paul in order for him to have his sight restored. When he did, immediately Saul could see. Saul was told that he would be Jesus' witness to all men of what he had seen and heard. At that time, Saul got up and was baptized a follower of Christ Jesus. Saul's name was changed to Paul, and as we see him go on to amazing things for Christ. Paul traveled around as a missionary in what is now known as modern-day Greece and Turkey. He completed 3 trips that brought many people to know Christ as their Savior. God used Paul to give us 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Over Paul's time on earth, we see how God changed a man whose main intent in life was to destroy Christianity and turned him into one of the most renowned missionaries known in the Bible. I hope you guys are starting to understand the pattern here as we see how God uses people to do amazing things. When we look at the book of Judges, we see a nation that is broken and in peril. The Israelites are repeatedly turning from God and worshiping pagan idols. God is continually having to use judges to bring people back from their sin. Gideon is the fifth judge in the book of Judges that was used by God to bring Israel back from their sin. In Judges 6:11-16, we read, And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why has he befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Saying, Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him, and said, Go, in this my might, that thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. We see in the text that God sent the angel to talk with Gideon. He explained that he would be with Gideon and that he would be able to free the Israelites from the reign of the Midianites. We see in the text that Gideon definitely needed a lot of reassurance in trusting God, as he needed multiple signs to reaffirm he was doing the right thing. God used Gideon to bring down the altar to Baal in Judges 6:25-32. And then Gideon unified an army of 32,000 people to oppose the Midianites, but was probably really surprised and worried when God told them to reduce the size to ultimately 300 people. Again, Gideon had doubts and needed more assurance from God that he was doing the right thing. He set up a fleece and asked God to perform miracles as confirmation. Once Gideon feels ready to go, God shows us just how powerful he is yet again. As Gideon and his soldiers defeat the Midianites with just horns and lamps. Gideon united Israel again and even denied a crown that the Israelites tried to give him after the battle. And he implored them to turn their eyes from having a king to worshiping God. The successful judge for God brought 40 years of peace to the Israelites and helped defeat a very large enemy. God used a man that was very unsure and doubtful in what he could do. I think Gideon was not really zeroing in on the fact that God can do all things. But nevertheless, God worked through Gideon and was able to do extraordinary things through him. The final person I want to talk about tonight is Rahab. This is a woman who is called a harlot three separate times in the book of Joshua. She lived in the walled city of Jericho, where she entertained and conducted her business. Through her practice and meeting of different people, we know that Rahab had heard about the Israelites and their exodus from Egypt and their crossing of the Red Sea. When the two spies of Joshua entered the house asking for cover, we get a good grasp that Rahab knew who the true God was. We see in this in Joshua 2:11 as Rahab talks to the spies saying, "And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and in earth beneath." And then when the king of Jericho learned that the men had been in Rahab's house, he sent orders for her to turn them over. She lied to the king's soldiers concerning the whereabouts of the spies and sent them in the opposite direction. Then Rahab went up to the spies and pleaded for her life and the life of her family members. She made an oath with them. Rahab would keep silent about the mission and the Israelites would spare everyone in her household when they invaded the city. She was to hang a scarlet cord from her window as a sign so the Jews could find and protect her. In the miraculous battle of Jericho, the invincible city did fall. Joshua gave orders to rescue Rahab and all of her house. She and her family were adopted by the Jews and stayed with them. Rahab recognized the true God and took him for her own. She provided Joshua helpful information in bringing down the mighty city of Jericho. And she was rewarded for her duty. Rahab was even part of the genealogy of King David and Jesus Christ, she was in the lineage. She is a great example of a sinful life turned around by our Savior and showing that God can use anyone. All of these great biblical people had an important role in furthering God's message and salvation. And like I said earlier, the Bible is completely full of people rising to the occasion for Christ. When we look at our lives, do we see someone who can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Maybe we stumble and fall into sin like David did. Are we going to ask for forgiveness and move on and be an effective tool for Christ? Maybe we're scared and don't want to follow God's plan like Jonah did. Can we rise past the fears and shortcomings that we have as humans to really make a difference in someone's life? Or maybe we think our past life before accepting Christ as our Savior will hold us back. Did it stop Rahab and Paul from being used in amazing ways? Or are we like Gideon, who continually needed reassurance and confirmation that he was not alone? We need to overcome these problems and be open to what God has in our lives. This could mean taking the extra time to witness to someone in your family, or showing Christ-likeness through your actions and speech. God loves us all and wants us to be used by him. I want to close with my wife's favorite verse that relates to this message tonight. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest."